show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Oh, Jimmy, how hard-hearted can you get? There's poor Alma Cogan eating her heart out for you, and not as much as a glance do you give her. Not one twitch of the moustache.
But, Bentley, that's because June Whitfield's the one that I'm panting after. For her, my moustache twitches like a cart horse's flanks on a hot day.
Oh, what a tangled mess it all is.
Well, I haven't had time to comb it today. Look, Bentley, I ask you, did I ask Alma to fall for me? It just happened that way. What man goes up to a girl and says, please fall for me, I'm the answer to a maiden's prayer?
Kindly leave me out of this. I'm sorry, Jimmy, it's my duty to look after Alma's welfare. Remember the promise I made to her mother.
You mean that you'd pay back the fiver by Whitson?
The other promise, to look after Alma. Poor kid. I remember what love did to me when I was 20. I was so heartbroken I caught the first boat to Australia.
The first boat to Australia? You actually sailed with Cook?
Go on, sneer, but I know what Alma's going through. There must be something we can do. Now, let's see. Let me put myself in Alma's place.
But you've been slung out of her place twice.
I'll pay the money back. Now, if I was Alma, I'd want to be told to my face that this love of mine is absolutely hopeless. There's more to be gained by banging my head against a brick wall.
Against a brick wall. All right, then, let's see. Alma?
Coming. Oh, Jimmy, you spoke to me.
Yes, dear. I want to tell you to your face that this love of yours is hopeless.
Oh, Jimmy.
I'm informed there's more to be gained by doing something else.
What's that?
Banging Bentley's head against a brick wall. Come on.
No, let me go.
That's what you
Where will it be?
On the baby's knuckle or the baby's knee? Oh, where will the baby's dimple be? A baby's cheek or baby's chin? Seems to me it'll be a sin if it's always covered by the safety pin. Oh, where will the dimple be?
Where will it be?
Every night we stay at home, my love and me alone, making wishes over dishes in the sink. Oh, will our bundle full of joy be a darling girl or boy? Will the booties be a baby blue or pink? On the baby's knuckle or the baby's knee, oh, where will the baby's dimple be? A baby's cheek or baby's chin? Seems to me it'll be a sin if it's always covered by the safety pin. Oh, where will the dimple be?
Will it be?
Now I wake up every night with such an appetite. Eat a chocolate pie topped off with sauerkraut. Then I put some records on, munch on crackers until dawn, and just sit around all night and try to guess. On the baby's knuckle or the baby's knee, oh, where will the baby's dimple be? A baby's cheek or baby's chin? Seems to me it'll be a sin if it's always covered by the safety pin. Oh, where will the dimple, a cute little dimple?
Where will the dimple?
Oh, where will the dimple be?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you'd like to know that Alma has dedicated that song to our beloved producer's new baby daughter, Sarah. As a matter of interest, her dimple turned out to be on her...
Watcher, Jim.
Oh, watcher, well...
I've just been out to get something to cheer the wife up. I bought her 4 motor cars.
Well, why 4 motor cars?
It's one for each direction.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's enough handy being rich, Jim.
Oh, dear old wealthy Wall. Your wife still needs cheering up, then?
She just can't settle down to being the wife of a rich man, Jim. A nobbess. To help her, I even bought her a pair of them spectacles on a stick. You know, what dowagers use to give each other dirty looks. What they call them? Laundrettes.
Lorgnettes. And she doesn't like them?
Well, she admits they come in handy for stirring the tea. Every time she brings them up to look at something, she hits herself on the conch.
Well, she must learn well. Noblesse oblige.
Oh.
But there must be some way you can show her how to enjoy having money. What about getting her to redecorate the home?
Oh, we're on that lark. We got an expert advising us, one of them inferior decorators. He wants us to do up the place all old-fashioned. Most of it's muddy awful.
Hey, what?
You know, from the Middle Ages.
Oh, medieval.
That's it. You ought to see the bed he wants us to have. It's like a square bandstand.
A four-poster?
Well, I suppose it's room for posters, but the missus ain't nothing to advertise about. But this decorator, now, he's prepared to guarantee that this bed's a genuine antique. He stands behind every bed he sells.
Must be interesting work.
Yeah. Ah, yes, but then there's a lot of interesting work that the public doesn't know about, isn't there, Dunners?
Oh, yes, sir, especially the job of censoring jokes. Many people believe that there's a committee which examines every joke broadcast by the BBC with the purpose of altering any that might offend listeners. Personally, sir, we don't think this committee exists, because if it did, well, just imagine.
Yes, well, now, well, committee, here is the first joke up for consideration. Gentleman A says, who was that lady I saw you with last night? To which gentleman B answers, that was no lady, that was my wife.
Oh, I
well,
see,
now,
yes.
Members of the committee, are do we approve?
Oh, no, definitely not. It is most suggestive.
Absolutely inflammatory.
Then it is our duty to amend it. We'll take it word by word. Mm. The first line is, who was that lady?
Oh, no, no, we must alter lady. I deplore the whole idea of gentleman A being seen with a member of the opposite saving your presence, madam, agenda.
I agree, though.
It would be wise to establish right at the outset that the lady is, in fact, his wife.
Well, then I shall change the word lady to wife.
Yes. Mm,
well, now, gentleman A goes on, I saw you with last night.
Night? Oh, dear,
Not night. It's a most provocative word.
It's provocative.
It implies darkness, do you see? And that implies, well...
I see, yes. It would be much safer if the couple were seen in a less stimulating setting. Mm. What shall we say? The botanical gardens.
Admirable houses.
Well, gentleman A's line now reads, I saw you within the botanical gardens. Mm. Well, we are doing splendidly.
We are indeed.
So, to the repast by gentleman B. He says that was no lady.
No. Dear.
Not for a moment. To state that she is no lady implants an undesirable picture in the minds of young soldiers.
And what it does to the Navy, I dare not think.
No. You have a point,
yes. No, but I do feel she should definitely be a lady.
Well, if you feel that, we'll make it...
Yes, I do. We must make it plain that she would only go out to the botanical gardens in search of, say, well... A specimen of fern.
A specimen of fern? Well, yes. I write that down.
No. I still think we'd be safer if gentleman B disclaims all knowledge of the woman.
Oh, very well, then. He must also say, I don't know her. How's that? Any other objections?
I think we have now changed what was a very coarse joke into one to which no young maiden could take exception.
I
wonder if you two gentlemen would now be kind enough to read the amended version.
Certainly, we'll do that. Who was that wife I saw you with in the botanical gardens?
I don't know, but she was out for a bit of fern.
Oh, much cleaner. Yes.
Oh, much cleaner.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary folk meeting life squarely. Today, their talking point is, if a young engaged couple plays spelling games, will they end up having words? Over to the Glums.
How wrong. Isn't it nice sitting here on the sofa quietly doing the crossword together? Fancy you finishing your copy of the crossword already, and I've hardly started. Oh, you are clever, aren't you, Ron?
Yes, eh?
Now, I must check if I've got some of my answers right, Ron. What have you put down for 8 across, dearest?
Eight across. Flobbergob.
Flobbergob? I've never heard of that word, Ron.
Neither have I, eh?
Oh, Ron, the idea is you put down real words. You mustn't just put down anything.
Oh. Can I have a borrow of your rubber, then?
You see, Ron, it's no good making up words. They've got to mean real things.
I see. Is there such a thing as a zosh?
No, Ron.
An akbok?
No, Ron.
A yif?
No, dearest.
Ah. You'd better leave the rubber my side, beloved.
Oh, and I thought you'd finished. Oh, flobbergob. The clue was forsaken. Eight letters. The answer's derelict, Ron.
Derelict?
It wouldn't be so bad if you got abandoned.
Right, are we?
Oh, no, Ron, I didn't mean that.
Just a kiss, eh?
Oh, but not
one.
Hello, hello, hello. Excuse me busting in, but you moved out of range of the keyhole. Here, do you know the address of a lady plumber?
A lady plumber, Mr. Glum?
Mrs. Glum's having a bath and got her big toe caught in a plug hole. Hello? What's this you two at now, eh? What do you got here, crossword? How are you getting on?
Not very well, Dad. Eth says my flobbergob is derelict.
Well, we're none of us getting any younger.
Oh, no, Mr. Glum.
Eh?
It's Ron.
Oh.
He hasn't got the hang of it at all.
Oh.
He puts down words that don't even exist.
Well, let's see if I can help then. Now, let's get out my glasses. Where do I leave them? I've got a minute. Oh, here. Seven across, opposite of first. Well, that's simple enough, isn't it? Hunger.
Hunger? Oh, but there's only room for four letters.
Well, write it small then. I've done these before, you know. Well, let's see what else you got here. What's this? Here, if you're a fine one to talk about using words that don't exist, look at this one you put down here. Yak.
Oh, that's a word, Mr. Glum.
Yak? Don't talk wet. Yak isn't a word. It's just a noise you make when you trot in some mud. You know, yak.
But it is a word, Mr. Glum.
Yeah.
The clue is primitive beast of burden, three letters.
Primitive beast of burden, three letters. Well, what do you make the answer wrong?
I put down mum.
Well, there you are, F. Anyway, that makes sense anyway, doesn't it? You and your yak. Oh, yak, eh? Oh,
but
dear.
Mr. Glum, there is such a word. It fits. It's a primitive animal, three letters, and one must be a K.
Oh, well, I've got your answer then. Ox. O-K-S. It's a good job I come in, innit?
Oh, I still say I'm right. I've heard the word.
Not in this house, Eff. Anyway, I'll settle this question once and for all. I'll ask Mrs. Glum. She's a great one for reading. She knows many of the sauce bottle labels by heart. I'm afraid I'll have to raise my voice a little because, as I told you before, she's in the bath. Mama! If your big toe is deplugged, might I ask you whether you ever have, in the course of your browsing through the masterpieces of literature, come across a soppy word called yak? Oh, dear, I'm afraid she's in no position to answer it.
Why not, Mr. Glum?
She slipped on the soap and fell flat on her flobbergob.
A heat wave arrived in the town last week. She came from the island of Martinique. The can-can she dances will make you fry. The can-can is really the reason why we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can-can started the heat wave by letting her seat wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can. Gee, her anatomy made the mercury jump to 93. Yes, sir, we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves, that thermometer proves that she certainly can. We're having a heat wave, tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can.
She started a heat wave
by letting her seat wave, tropical heat wave.
Three more brandies and soda, please. And I say, Bentley, I thought of going to Monte Carlo this summer.
Yes, well, that's all right, Your Grace, provided you don't gamble.
Yes, no. You know, Your Grace, once those roulette tables get you, you're lucky if you get home with your vaccination mark. Ah.
Let us tell you a cautionary tale.
I was desperate. I stood there on the terrace of the Monte Carlo casino. A last look round. Then I climbed the parapet and put a loaded revolver against my temple. Then suddenly...
Stop it! Stop it!
It was a distinguished-looking gentleman in a dove-colored suit. He was waving his cane at a dove.
Allez-vous-en, you perishing wazzo!
Please. Please go away, sir. You're distracting me. I'm going to blow my brains out.
Oh, I see. First time you've done it, is it?
Don't try and stop me. I've got to do it. Don't interfere.
My dear chap, I wouldn't dream of interfering. You do just whatever you want to do. After all, you are on holiday.
Thank you.
I was just wondering whether you'd be kind enough to shift a little further along the parapet and make room for me.
You? You've come out here to shoot yourself as well?
Alas, yes. My name is the Duc de Balzac. On the gambling tables, I've just wagered away my sole remaining possession, my chateau.
You lost your all?
Me all, me parlor, me whole perishing castle. Last week, the yacht went. First the bateau, now the chateau. Doesn't it take the blooming ghetto?
For a Frenchman, sir, for a Frenchman, may I say you speak English as well as I do? In fact, weller.
Oui, de Balzac's have always been cultured.
Cultured, yes.
On my 10th birthday, my parents insisted I have an English governess.
What fun. All I got was a fairy cycle.
L'art is the luck of the draw.
Yes.
Now, the last of the de Balzacs is going to end it all. I cannot bear the thought of living in penury.
That's Cornwall, isn't it?
That's Cornwall, isn't it? Look, lad, if you want to shoot yourself, now's as good a time as any.
Yes, the only way out is the bullet. I gambled money that wasn't mine. It was funds entrusted to me by my comrades in the 32nd Middlesex Foresters.
Infantry?
Boy Scouts.
Oh.
£37.11, representing the Bobs on 751 jobs.
Oh, flobbergob week, was yes. It?
Oh, sir, the disgrace. I'll be cashiered. It would mean handing in my shorts and lanyard.
I see, my friend. Then let us leave this world together.
Together, grim-faced, the two of us stood and raised our guns to our heads. Together on top of the parapet, our fingers tightened on the trigger. And then...
Pardon, is there room for one more on top?
Oh, no, not another one.
Look, mademoiselle, this is only a small parapet. Wouldn't you like to go and shoot yourself in the salle à manger?
Oh, no. No, 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 I beg you. Permit me to go to the top of the queue. Tonight, on the gaming table, I have lost tout mon argent. Tout, tout, tout.
It's no use tooting, madam. I can't move till the fellow in front goes.
But that argent was my one chance of escape from this false life of Monte Carlo.
It's false.
Here, I am a girl of the cabaret. Men call me Gigi.
Gigi, my dear, that is a lovely name for a girl.
It's a good name for a horse, too.
Tonight, I took all my savings from under the mattress. The whole lot I put on numero 32.
Everything on 32?
Mattress and all. The wheel spun. The little ball clicked into place. It was numero 9.
You'd won. No, no. She lost, you ignorant clut. Nerf, nerf, she said. 14. Ah, you poor broken blossom. Come, join us on the parapet. It's halfway for ladies.
Together, grim-faced, the three of us stood and raised our guns to our heads. We took a deep breath. Then together we tightened our fingers on the triggers, and then...
Stop!
Oh, no, I'm not stopping again. This time I'm going to commit suicide if it kills me.
Oh, no, don't. Look, on the ground, a note.
A note?
What can it be?
What? Well, it can't be if anyone finds this I love you. Unless that kid's trying his luck in Monte Carlo.
No. No, it is a 10,000 franc banknote. Oh, it was in your right turnip.
Well, there's a right turnip. 10,000 francs?
Fate is giving us a second chance. Let's take the 10,000 francs into the roulette room. We'll double it.
Treble it.
Quadruple it.
Quintuple it.
The one that's got sex in it. Come, mes amis, to the tables.
Faites vos yeux, monsieur, dame. Les jeux sont faits. Rien ne va plus.
Quick, mes amis. We must put our whole 10,000 on at one go.
And to win the most, we must bet on a number. Oh, chérie, tell the croupier your favorite number.
Righto. Please, sir, trees.
Oui, monsieur. Numéro 13.
Oh, you aren't half an asbestos, Klotovich. He thought you said trays. Ons douze trays. Il a bungé the lot on number 13.
Rien ne va plus. Le numéro 13.
Oh, we have won, we have won.
Oh, thank goodness, if I hadn't won, we'd have been sunk.
Oui, monsieur, le numéro 5.
Oh, you've done it again, it's all gone on number 5.
Rien ne va plus. Le numéro 5.
Oh, we have won again. Oh, no, do not bet anymore. I beg you, cease.
Rien ne va plus. No. Le numéro... Si.
Can you believe it? Oh, goodness gracious me. Bison, Ocelence, and Foy. We've won again. We've won a fortune.
£100,000 each.
Now, leave it at that. Both of you, not a word, not a syllable.
I'm rich. I've won 100,000. I'm another Roquefort.
No, 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 no. Rockefeller. Roquefort is a smelly little cheese that... Oh, alors, pate. Qu'est-ce qu'il y a? Nom de
monsieur does not wish to bet any more this morning.
Not on your sweet V. We're all going off to have a decent meal.
Oui, monsieur. Decent meal.
No, 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 no. Put it back, please.
This time it was a bit chilly as we stood on the parapet. The three of us took a deep breath. Then together we tightened our fingers on the trigger. And then...
Stop!
Oh, no!
I say, do you mind if I make up a fourth? I've just lost all my travel allowance.
Miss Amy, we agreed no more interruptions, didn't we?
Yes.
Right, take no notice of him. Just pull the trigger.
Right.
Got him.
Got him. Got him.
Guy James of the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes, the announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...
Bye.